Beer Show. Welcome back. Craig Mastantuono sitting in for Mark Thompson with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and United States Senate candidate. A little bit of an abrupt break there, Lieutenant Governor. So I think you were in the middle of telling us a bit about your personal story and the Millionaires Club that you perceive to be the United States Senate at this point.
Well, exactly. And it's a perception. I mean, it's the reality, and it's the reason why things aren't should right now. It's the reason why the concerns of a majority of American have yet to be met. We need a Senate that understands what we're going through. I share people's fears and their struggles, but also hopes and dreams. I do believe that better change until we change the people we send them. That's the exact reason why I'm running.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the presumptions that we make as politicos and voters about, you know, you've got Milwaukee and Madison, and then you've got rural Wisconsin. And I think part of your campaign effort has been to kind of break that down a little bit, at least that perception, and reach voters across the state. And what insights have you gained running all over, as you have for some time now, campaigning for the United States Senate?
I'll tell you, that's been my approach even before I decided to run for the U.S. Senate. In fact, it's the reason why I ran for U.S. Senate. My very first year as lieutenant governor, very deliberately, very intentionally got to all 70 counties. I wanted to be sure that people knew that we were there for everybody. Administration that was prepared to take on the challenge, but also to build bridges, have conversations. When I'm in rural communities, the issues in Milwaukee. When I'm in Milwaukee, I talk rural issues because it's important for us to have that understanding so that there is less fear, less division. I tell you, Republicans have used every opportunity to use fissures that exist currently. And in fact, they're the gaps, the chasms that the Republican Party has handmade themselves. And it's work to break them down, honestly. You know, a lot of people say, you know, can you win in rural Wisconsin? I say, well, absolutely. I'll also say that, you know, while we may in every county, you know, just being realistic about the situation, you know, nobody's matched Barack Obama, who won 34 out of 72 counties. Nobody's come even close. But the fact is, we at least have to start making significant gains. We at least have to start talking about the issues that impact rural communities. Because we can't leave people behind. That's what Republicans do. Republicans, people like Ron Johnson, have left people behind. People are struggling, whether it's in my hometown of Milwaukee, in the community, in the neighborhood, or people out in Cashton, or people all the way up in Bayfield or Ashland. All these communities that have been ill representation that they've been getting by so many Republicans. And another thing, I guess I'll say the last thing that's so evident is the fact that the people, whether it's, you know, doing as lieutenant governor or even during the campaign, it's not always about left or right, red or blue. At the time, we've been left at the bottom.
Yeah. You know, a couple things about your remarks. As I said, the perception is, you know, urban versus rural. I think you make a very good case that the Republicans drive that war, not the Democrats. And that, I've been pitting basically the rest of the state against our city, the city you and I live in, Milwaukee, for two decades at the very least at this point. And we've had to live through that. And I don't know if you remember this the same way that I do, but it seemed like when Governor Walker really began his assault on Milwaukee is when people in our city started acting as if, you know, we got to defend ourselves. We're at war. We're proud to live in Milwaukee. We're proud to be a city, the city that we are. And we need to stick together because, you know, basically somebody's trying to kill us as a city. And so, you know, I think that people on the Democratic side, like yourself, try to take down that debate and attack it right at its core to say this divide shouldn't exist. People are paying too much for gas, but they're worried about their reproductive rights. They're having trouble making ends meet all across the state, whether you live in the city of Milwaukee or in Ashland.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, although this is Republicans' problem that they created, sometimes it's a trap that's too easy for us to fall into. And rural Democrats, they still also feel left behind. I mean, they've been alarmed for a long time, and we got to stop them. But in order for us to build a stronger state, a stronger society, we have to talk about the issues that matter. And all of this is circular. You know, I think about some of the challenges we're dealing with in areas like Milwaukee with food deserts, food insecurity. The fact is, we have the second most organic farm in Wisconsin. And you think about the gaps that exist, and it is literally serving and out because of it. I'll tell you, like, when I meet with people, you know, there's not like there's this Milwaukee animosity. However, sometimes there is this thought that Milwaukee and Madison get a lot of resources, which we all know is not the case. Everybody's been starved, but that's what happens when you have that, when you have people in office who don't truly the people that they are to. People start blaming each other. Who's really been at fault here? You know, a lot of times, well, the person we want to get in office is, it'll be great. We'll forget about it until the next election cycle. Or the gets in office and we say, oh, we'll just get them next time. But people accountable in the meantime. You know, we have to keep who's in office.
Yeah, you know, interesting. A couple of things. You brought up President Obama earlier, and you know his record. You said, I think you said 34 counties that he won when he was able to take Wisconsin in apparently one of his two elections, and took Wisconsin in both, but the 34 counties. And wasn't it President Obama that also said, look, you've got to go to rural areas because, you know, you might not win that county, but you're not going to lose it 75-25 if you go there and connect with people and you come away with a 55-45 or a 60-40 spread rather than getting slaughtered in that county. And it seems like you're embracing that approach and you're trying to connect with people in those areas. Maybe you might not take the county, but you're going to earn respect and win votes in those counties. And as we know, you don't win to the Senate primary or the general election by the number of counties you win, but by the number of votes that you win, right?
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you again, there's so much more that we have in common with each other than we do with any out of touch millionaire politicians like Ron Johnson. And it was Barack Obama's DNC speech in 2004. I'm glad you kind of went on about strategy of showing up in rural communities saying, hey, 75-25. And when I heard that speech, I was inspired. I was encouraged. I felt like the things around me could change. And it really made me think about all the common issues, all the common challenges that we're facing at the same time, but not together.
Yeah, that, you know, one of the things that frustrates me as a lifelong Democrat, and I was just as inspired by that speech, I don't feel like we play divide and conquer politics on the Democratic side. I just don't. I don't think we try to tell people school teachers have better benefits than you, so you should hate on them. Or, you know, unions are driving up labor prices, so you're paying more for a car. And I just think that's a game that we can fall into if we're playing small ball and losing sight of the growing issue in this country, which is wealth inequality and people missing out on the American dream.
I'm glad you brought up wealth inequality. Over the course of this pandemic, you know, billionaire wealth increased an additional $5. And at the same time, up to 7 million people in this country found themselves in poverty for the first time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. We, you know, none of my grandparents spoke English for a first language. You know, they emigrated from Italy and Mexico, and my mother came here from Mexico as an immigrant, and I'm first generation. And, you know, you start to wonder, are we reaching that generation that doesn't have a chance to do what we always thought is the American dream, which is every generation does better, right? And do you see that as threatened like I do?
Oh, see it, you experience it. Experiencing it. My grandfather was in Milwaukee after World War II. He was in the Navy and right away as a union steel worker at A.O. Smith. And, you know, that's a similar story to so many other people. But those doors of opportunity, those tickets to middle class, they're in short supply these days and of growing inequality, ballooning inequality. The people at the very top, at the very bottom, that class is unfortunately. And what that means is the middle class is shrinking, and we are dealing with a whole host of issues because of it. It's harder to afford a school. It's harder to purchase a home. It's harder to do almost anything these days. The gas pump, the grocery store, you name it, the middle class to face because the level of greed that exists here in this country. And that's something we have to break power structures. What we need experience in Congress to make the decisions that'll positively impact quality of life for working people.
Lieutenant Governor, I believe that, well, first of all, you've been the front runner in polling in the Democratic primary for Senate. And I believe, knowing you and knowing your talents, that you believe you are going to be the candidate for Senate from the Democratic side in the general election in November. So if we can put ourselves past the August primary and you are on the Democratic slate of candidates, what do you think, what do you think this election is going to come down to at the statewide office holders level and at in Wisconsin and at the Senate level for Democrats to prevail in November?
Well, we are working hard. We're working like we're 10 points down because there's still an election in November. It's, can't go into this thing being lazy. So we are working as we can, covering as many bases as we possibly can.
Are we receiving, Evan?
Are you still there, Mandela? Yeah. I saw his connection was having kind of a rough time. He was having the red bars.
Well, I hope see that. Well, let's assume that Lieutenant Governor Barnes can hear us and he can work himself back in. And let's continue the conversation while we do that. And Evan, you'll give me a heads up if Lieutenant Governor Barnes comes back in.
Yeah.
I think that the themes that Lieutenant Governor Barnes and U.S. Senate candidate was invoking. Mandela, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. What just happened?
I think that was on your end. We just lost you for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
My apologies.
My apologies.
So we've got about a minute and a half left, and you were talking about working hard to get through August, of course. But
yeah, exactly. Certainly not taking anything for granted here. Working hard. Because there's still a broad coalition role for November. And what Democrats need to do is show up everywhere to build trust and credibility. We have to show up authentically all over this state. We have to connect with people around those kitchen table issues that matter. You know, this isn't a battle of ideologies. That's not what most people are thinking about when they leave home and come back from work every day, if they are fortunate enough to even be able to go to That's where we are right now, showing up, talking to people, even for the people who don't agree with me. We're opening, we're sharing space. We're giving an opportunity for people to be heard because that's missing the most.
Yeah, I know that you are courageous and will talk to anybody about any issue and engage at any time. Lieutenant Governor, I've always appreciated that about you. And I know that you'll continue to fight for things that we as Democrats hold most dear. It sounds like we may be headed for a rough time with the Supreme Court decisions, but we all got to hang in there because we all do better when we all do better, as Paul Wellstone said, right?
Absolutely. Onward to fight another day.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Lieutenant Governor and U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes. Look forward to having you another time. And this is Craig Mastantuono sitting in for Mark Thompson on the Paul Revere Show. Thanks for joining us, folks, and we'll see you next time.